And the
podcast
begins with a song of rebellion.
How can this
podcast
be my life?
CD Burners.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to CD Burners, the only podcast on the internet where you can hear two fucking idiots try to stumble their way through albums that they know little to nothing about.
I mean, we really are doing God's work by just being two white guys have a podcast talking about music.
Yeah. I mean, living the fucking dream. You know, nobody does this.
I really look forward to doing this. TJ got a timer for me here. You guys, I don't know if you can see it, but
I thought it would help us stay on track and be more structured just because I'm the one who's been editing these episodes. So here we are going into episode 5. We have a timer and we're gonna see how that does.
We're just two bros talking. He said that we sound annoying, so
at this point we will have 4 episodes behind us and people will have commented,
"You're annoying."
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like I've been very open about being annoying. I know I'm annoying.
It's not just you. It's me too.
I feel like it's mainly me.
No.
You are on track. You're like, here's the smart things to say, and then I say something shitty. That's wrong.
You know what? It is what it is. I don't think you need to change yourself. This is what you get. What you see is what you get. CD Burners, we're just two white guys talking about music.
Honestly, revolutionary. Changing the game is the way I look at it. Today, what album are we doing?
Today, we're talking about Homesick by A Day to Remember.
What did you know about this going in?
Morgan, I discovered A Day to Remember at Emo Night. This album actually came out in 2009 on Victory Records, but I did not listen to it until 2016. And even then, I don't think I listened to the full album. I probably listened to 2 or 3 songs that I learned through Emo Night.
That is the beautiful thing about Emo Night. That really is. Like, I could say exactly the same. And I gotta tell you, I like it a lot. I really do like it. Like, I listened through it the entire way through a couple of times because, you know, it's really strange because, you know, we play those couple of songs at the night. And then I always go, like, should he listen to what these other guys, like, what else they do? And this is a good opportunity. Look, you guys are, if you don't know this album, and if you guys don't know any of the albums we're talking about, this is, we're not lying to you. We're not going to be like, we know this stuff really well. It's a fun, introspective look on, you know, some albums we know better than others, some we don't. And this is one of the ones we don't.
I really like this album. I know this is not supposed to be, like, a review podcast, but I think that this album is pretty remarkable. It blends two genres really, really well. You know, I think it takes some of the humor and fun of pop punk and combines it with the heaviness of hardcore, and it just makes, like, a really enjoyable listen.
They turn, like, the, do you know the term they coined after this album?
Easycore.
It was Easycore, which was like a listenable metalcore song, which is exactly what they did. And like, I want to say it before, you know, we get to the end and I start ranting about a bunch of dumb, weird shit. But I read a lot of reviews of this album at the time. And look, I made notes, right? And the thing is, a lot of critics said that it's okay. I wrote this. A lot of critics said it is like very formulaic, repetitive, and honestly, I think that that's from the fact that it sounds sonically very similar throughout the entire album. The songs aren't the same, but I think that it stays in that same lane through the entire album, and I think that that's why a lot of people were like, "This is repetitive and similar." The thing that really fucking, like, I took out of this album is the fact that a lot of people did say it was generic, but it makes me feel that if they were saying that at the time, right, they're saying this is generic, this is something that we've heard before, this is something, and they haven't, they kind of invented this style. And by having people say that when you invent it at that time kind of makes it iconic. Being like, so you're listening to something and feeling like it's familiar, but it's new.
Yeah.
To me, that says a lot.
Well, I think you touched on something really, really interesting here, because these are, at the end of the day, pop songs. Like, they're really palatable pop songs. And I think that that, you know, that's why that cover that they do of Since You've Been Gone, like, that's why that song doesn't feel like Kelly Clarkson. It feels like a Day to Remember song. Like, you, those, at the end of the day, this songwriting is pop music. That very well could be a Day to Remember song, but it's a mainstream, like, number one pop hit that they turned into something with their own style.
Which is, like, at the time when they were doing the, like, Pop Goes, like, was it Crunk?
They did do Pop Goes Crunk, Pop Goes Punk.
What was this?
I think this would probably be on Pop Goes Punk.
Yeah, it was really, really, they took that song and made it a Day to Remember song. And you can tell because when they were writing this album, they were like, they went into this being like, this is, they wanted to write catchy songs. They wanted to write pop songs. And they achieved it. Like, they achieved it. Every single song on this album has something that you can remember. It also has, like, some incredibly, like, iconic parts from the scene in itself.
Mm.
Right? Like, it's got the, you know, you start with fucking Downfall to Us All. And then, dude, and then Disrespect Your Surroundings.
Disrespect Your Surroundings.
Like, pretty incredible, quotable things from songs. And a really, like, they did the thing that an audience wants.
Well, I did want to just say about the fusing of two genres. And I think that maybe when the band first started, it wasn't as intentional as it is on this record. I did find a quote from Jeremy McKinnon, where he just says, "We liked playing pop punk in Ocala, Florida, but we threw breakdowns in the middle of these songs so that people wouldn't make fun of us."
I didn't know how much of a game changer this album was before I started listening to it. Like, to me, when I first listened to it, the first things that I said about the people that reviewed it were like, "Oh yeah, this sounds," and I thought the same thing. I went back to the time and I looked at other albums that came out around that time. Nobody did it like them. Nobody did it like them. Like, you know, some of the songs on the fucking album sound like Blink. Like, so there's like parts on the album that sound like Blink, which is what I think they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they said they're inspired by fucking, they wanted like Celine Dion. Like, I mean, this is an inspired record. And it's really, it's like, it makes its point. Like, I think out of all of the albums, maybe besides the Black Parade that we've reviewed, this album makes its point. With what it sounds like and what they are supposed to be.
It was produced and co-written by Chad Gilbert of Newfound Glory. Chad Gilbert, Newfound Glory, I feel like they were one of those pop punk bands that dabbled a little bit in bringing some like breakdown stuff in.
Yeah, I mean, some of the dudes used to play in like Shai Alud. Like, that was like when I was into all that stuff. And so, you know, when Newfound Glory happened, I was like, whoa, I love this, because I could tell that it was, you know, there was some...
It's got those, like, hardcore undertones.
Yeah, undertones.
The band also brought back producer Andrew Wade into the mix. He did their first record, and then they took a break from him, and then they brought him back. It was also mixed by Adam Dukowitz of Killswitch Engage.
Which is... Okay, so those two things, right? Produced by Newfound Glory... mixed by Killswitch Engage, that is the album that you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is actually the album you're getting. That is the formula for the album that you would listen to with this. And that doesn't mean that it is, I'm not saying that is a negative thing. I'm saying that that is, if that is the people that they chose to do this album and they wrote the songs in the way that they wrote them, you are getting that album if you know both of those bands. This is a blend of all of those things. This was a very, very important time. It was a 2009. Okay.
It debuted at number 21 on Billboard 200, RIAA certified gold. It was number one on Billboard for the top independent album, number two on top hard rock albums, and it sold 22,000 copies in the first week and then 200,000 by its re-release in 2010.
I bet those 200,000 people were legitimately in Riverside. Like, I bet that every single fucking person in Riverside was like, absolutely, yes, this is what we like. But respect Inland Empire. Like, this is like, when I go to the Inland Empire, this is what the soundtrack to Inland Empire sounds like.
Inland Empire is like the Florida of California, kind of.
Oh, goddamn, dude. It is the Florida of California. Dude, did you also know that Acala is the horse capital of the world?
I did come across that information.
Did you come across it on Wikipedia?
No, I think in a YouTube video.
Yeah, I think so, maybe. I don't know, I forgot which one, but I was like, that is what I'm taking from this. And also, dude, guess who else is from there? I'm sure you know.
Under Oath?
Yep. I asked you before this, I was like, what do you know about this album? Because I don't know a lot about this album. And, you know, usually we talk to people who are around that time or produced it or in the band, and I didn't know anybody. Like, I couldn't find, what, you know, we've met them before, we've had, you know, but like, no people that I'm friends with are like very good friends with them until I talked to Davey Muse.
Okay.
From Vanna.
Davey Muse from Portland?
Davey Muse from Portland.
Okay.
And he told me a lot about them.
How does he know?
So, about 2007 or 8, he said, he was playing in a band called Shoot Your Wounded, and he got a call to have and I told him, I was like, look, I'm going to say some of this shit on the podcast. And he was like, absolutely, please. And he was incredibly helpful, because I was like, I need you to give me what can I tell people that they don't know. So he got a call to have a band open for this show in Ocala, Florida. He said he heard what they sounded like, and he was like, no fucking way. Hard no. Absolutely hard no. He heard him play, and he was like, this is not going to do shit. The vibe was 20-year-old kids that looked like their uncles just got out of jail. Ended up, started talking to him. He's like, really fucking nice guys. Became friends. They became friendly. And at the time, Davey was working at, he was the manager at Hot Topic. And he saw, when this album came out, he saw that this album got sold more in Hot Topic than any other record in Hot Topic. He said that it inspired him and a ton of metal people to be and write in and be in bands. Like, this was an inspiring album to people who are in this scene. He said some really great quotes. Said some really, really good shit. He was like, the toughest kid in the Newfound Glory pit would be a kid at a Day to Remember show.
That makes sense, for sure.
Oh, that kid, like, goes and sees, like, a hard band and doesn't move at all.
Mm.
So the toughest kid at a Newfound Glory show is a Day to Remember fan.
Yep.
But when they go to like metal shows,
it's too much.
Too much. He did say that like at this time, he said it made it okay to people to listen to everything at once. It gave pop kids some metal and it gave metal kids some heart. You know, Davey referenced the album for the incredible structure, and so many people looked at it like that. They looked at the structure of the songs because it was like what we've been saying, like it is formulaic. I don't think we've talked about like how it sounds yet very much, and that's, this is a personal thing, and I think the word that I'm looking for is like heavily compressed.
It sounds really clean,
which is not like my favorite type of shit, yeah. But
it's almost like pop production. Like pop music, when pop music is produced, it's usually very heavily compressed. It's about being loud. It's about like making everything be on like one level. And I think that this album definitely is.
I mean, yeah.
Has that.
And if you read all those reviews, like if you read all the reviews, and which is what I'm going to keep continuing to say, that like from the thing that I said in the beginning was that people were like, yes, this is repetitive. Yes, we've heard this before. But no, they hadn't. They hadn't heard this before. And that right there is a testament to a good album, to legitimately listen to something for the first time and go, this sounds familiar, this sounds like I've heard it before, but you fucking haven't. And I think that that is like, if I had to really like make a quote for this album, it would be that. That's like my, that's the way I said it. But, you know, he said that it mushed, back to Davey, because he did say talk a lot about it. He said it mixed two together two sounds that were perfect and that people now try to emulate, which was and that was a huge, got huge criticism from critics at the time. Like, critics were butt fucking this album. They were like not having it.
Really?
Yeah, they were not having it, dude. He also said, like, this is the personal stuff that, like, I want to, you know, bring to this podcast, is that it said it inspired him and so many people to go to the fucking gym. Mm. Like, this is a gym album. This is like a go to the fucking gym
album. I listened to this album at the gym when I was preparing for this podcast.
That's like, dude, that, you know, like right there, like what a you didn't know that I was going to say that.
No.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Like, what a fucking cool thing.
It does, like, really get you fucking pumped up. Like, whenever we drop Downfall of Us All, the place explodes.
It's awesome. It's like a never, you know, we saw him in Vegas and I was like, they're perfect.
Yeah, that, like, show at Vegas was so fun.
He said, you cannot not like this record, even if it's not your thing, due to the hooks and the catchiness. He said, this was also really interesting. He said, there was a certain amount of vision that this band had. Like, when they played, they knew that they wanted to go into arenas. And so a lot of bands, you know, if you ever played in bands growing up, I know we both did, some bands like staying in that, like, you know,
the Echoplex.
One to 500 cap. Like, that's like a comfortable space, and that's mm-hmm. like what they want to do. And that's neither good or bad. It's just a preference. But this is, he said, when he was talking to these guys and when he heard this album, he was like, they had a very distinct vision for what they wanted the band to be, and that was what the band turned into. He said, you're not too cool. It's okay to bob your head. And this is coming from a guy who's like about my age, and I feel the same fucking way about mm-hmm. this. I was like, you know, at least listening to it now, so many years later, like, you know, we've reviewed a couple of albums that I haven't really listened to so far. This was one that I went back and just to listen to. It also fucking is in, like, some of the songs on there, I go search listening for them. I was going through, like, when I'm really happy, I listen to a lot of sad songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the last song on that album, to me, is a really sad song. So I was listening to that, like, pretty, the one with the, it's like softer.
The acoustic one.
Like, that's a fucking awesome song.
It's such a good song.
That's a great song.
I love how they don't, like, blow their load on it. It's called If It Means a Lot to You. And it has such a good build. Like, they really make you wait for it. And then, like, when that ending, that bridge hits, it's just, like, out of this world.
And so, like, that's the type of songs that I listen to when I'm, like, very happy. It's hard for me to listen to sad songs when I'm sad. It's like, this is a song, like, that's in my, like, sad song rotation to listen to when I'm happy. It, like, I seeked it out because it was so goddamn well written. And he was like, dude, there are, like, what we were talking about, there are those iconic parts in it. Like, everybody knows, like, as soon as you hear that, da 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 da, like, you know. Like, that's a thing. That's mm-hmm. a thing. Disrespect your surroundings is a thing. And to make something a thing is a kind of a difficult task.
Absolutely.
That's a difficult task.
Like, those are hooks, and they're not even, like, a chorus. You know, they're just, like, a thing that sticks.
And the fucking sound of the sidekick dying before a breakdown, mm-hmm. that's a thing, dude. Those are, like, three very distinct things from this album that I actually saw. Something that's been going on Twitter a lot lately is, like, bands ripping off other bands. Have you been seeing that?
Mm-mm.
So it's like, oh, I see where they got this, and they'll put a fucking song, and then they'll put another song and play those parts of the songs that and, like, the latest one I just saw was a Black Sabbath song and an Every Time I Die song, and it's, like, absolutely the same thing. But they did this, like, there was a Day to Remember song, which I didn't know was a Day to Remember song. Like, another band, like, ripped off the do the sidekick dying sound. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I always thought this sounded familiar. I wish I saved that. I wish I remembered it. Who it was. But, I mean, theoretically, David said that he shouldn't give a shit about them. Like that's the thing. Is like, and this, I kind of feel the same way. Like, theoretically, I shouldn't give a shit. But I really do. And he really does also.
It's hard to deny this record. I feel like this record, in comparison to some other albums that we're going to be talking about later, this is a timeless album.
I actually believe it is a 10 out of 10 album. I know I'm talking to not even minor shit. I'm just like speaking like from opinions of other people and like myself, like, but I'm able to set myself aside about what I personally like and look at what an album is. And I can honestly say that this is a 10 out of 10 album.
You want to jump into some fast facts here?
Hell yeah, bitch.
All right. So this album came out 2009. Like we said, MySpace was thriving. There were two tracks, Welcome to the Family and Downfall of Us All. They were both released on MySpace ahead of the singles coming out. Like we said earlier, this album was released on Victory Records.
Yeah, I read into that.
This is not really a podcast where we're going to talk about the history of Victory Records, but if you guys are at all interested, it's a pretty seedy operation that Tony was running. Actually, both the albums that we're talking about today are both on Victory Records. But Victory was a huge marketing machine. They blew up so many bands and albums from our time. The problem was the bands never saw a cent. And A Day to Remember pretty famously took Victory Records to court and won. They got paid. They got paid $4 million.
$4 million, yeah.
And this was, I think, a couple albums after. We're not really talking about the whole history of A Day to Remember, but I think it's interesting to note that this album did come out on Victory Records, and I think that that really helped A Day to Remember get to the next level where they needed to be.
I mean, look, at that time, you can't deny that Victory Records was a marketing machine for this type of music. If you wanted to be in a band that was successful in this genre, you were on Victory Records. It just sucks that that guy's such a motherfuck, you know?
There was a time period where Homesick was actually going to be split into two songs. Mike Hranica from The Devil Wears Prada has guest vocals on I'm Made of Wax, Larry. And that song, I'm Made of Wax, Larry, What Are You Made Of, is named after a Night at the Museum quote.
Which, honestly, shout out Ben Stiller, shout out Night at the Museum. Fucking watched that like a couple weeks ago. Very good.
I
heard he's a real cocksucker, though.
Ben Stiller.
Yeah, I heard he's like the probably. Biggest dickhead ever.
I mean, the thing about that, just naming that song that, and like the band in general, I feel like they're pretty unserious. They bring like a real like playfulness to. It's like from pop punk, you know. The music is way heavier, but they bring sort of like an accessibility thing, and like. Even if you do a deep dive on YouTube, they have something called the Homesick Sessions, which I started watching. I watched like 3 episodes. I did not watch all 12. But they were like vlogging, basically. They were like sarcastic, funny. They were doing skits. They're riffing bits in the studio. They made themselves characters. And I think that that was so important, especially at this time. It's still very important. But at this time, it was like MySpace. It was like, you wanted to know the band members. The music videos were so funny. Like the video of them playing
kickball
against the kids.
Beating the shit out of the kids.
It's so good. And compared to like other bands from the time, from the same scene, they're taking themselves so seriously and they're playing these music videos, or they're doing these music videos that are just like so dark and dreary and like kind of a little bit scary. Like,
I mean, what you're talking about is like, I don't know. I was going to start watching them, but I thought it was just like performances because it was like sessions, because I did know that they did like a sort of a vlog back then. I just didn't know. I wish I would have watched them. I really want to, because I saw a couple clips where they like were so self-aware at the moment. You know, they were like reading the things that people said about them online.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, these guys fucking sold out.
They got rid of all the breakdowns.
Yeah, dude. And that's fucking, you know, for this type of music, for this like aggressive music, it's, you know, that's, you don't really see that too much.
I think you'll love some of these vlogs. They're pretty funny and they say the R word, so.
Yes. My guys.
The cover art is done by Dan Mumford. It's meant to represent how much one small path you take in your life can affect you.
I mean, the album is also called Homesick, so it's like, yep. You know, they were. This was written a lot about bands being like on the road. That fuck.
I hate
town.
My hometown. Yeah. I did write that down. I mean, the main themes are just being away from home and like feeling alone, and they do a great job. They do a great job of capturing those.
Look,
feelings.
I think you know, if you like this style of heavier music, like this album pioneered it. I truly believe it. And now, you know, as a fan of hard music, like heavier music, I was like, oh, I hear this influenced in this. The thing is I thought this came out a lot later than it actually did.
You did.
I thought, yeah. So I thought that this wasn't the first thing. And I'm not saying that this was the first album that sounded like this. This was the first album that sounded like this to do it perfectly and set the tone, I believe, for other bands to do this and for other bands to really follow in this footsteps and to be like, we can achieve that sound. And like, look, you know, I think what is also really what you're saying about like their vlogs and kind of like why I like doing this is the way you get to love something is to know their personality, like know people's personalities. And at that time, it was a little bit difficult because the internet was like not as accessible as it was now. But they really did their best to be like, here we are, we're guys, we're bros, you know? And like, I think that, you know, that really helped with their fans.
Mm-hmm.
To be relatable. Because, I mean, dude, you're talking about other bands making, like, dark, scary fuck videos not being, like, realistic. Like, then you have a band that's making, like, heavy songs being, like, relatable. Like, I could fucking, you know, wear a flat brim hat with you. Easy. You know? Like, fucking easy. Yeah. And so, like, I think that they just did the thing. Like, it's the easiest way to say it. What other quick facts do you have?
That's about it.
I started doing this thing where I was like, what else happened in 2000 and whatever
2009?
Year, yeah, that we are, you know, just to like set the tone, just to set the tone of like where we were at, you know, you could say 2009, but then be like, fuck, I don't remember if that was like 2007. I don't remember shit. Right. So this is helpful for me. That year was the launch of Bitcoin.
Wow. Should have bought.
There's this fucking like cool black dude was like, you guys gotta buy this for a dollar. Please buy this for a dollar. He's like begging people to buy it for a dollar.
Where?
It's not like on YouTube, I think.
Okay.
And now like people followed him and he's like got like, yachts and yachts and yachts and yachts. It's fucking awesome. Guess what else came out? Another scamdemic, dude.
What are you talking about?
The swine flu.
Yeah, the H1N1.
This was the year of the swine flu.
I remember this.
They were preparing us for fucking
COVID.
Yeah, dude. They were like, they're prepping, they're opening the door for us to be like sheep about it. You know what else happened this year? Really big, actually. Michael Jackson died.
Oh, dude, I remember all this stuff. I was in college. Yeah, it was like the summer between my freshman and sophomore year.
And another big thing, maybe the biggest thing, Obama got elected.
Obama.
Yeah, I remember when Obama got elected, inaugurated, one of them.
I remember, because it was the first time I got to vote. I was 18.
Yeah, I was in an outpatient program in Newport Beach, and me and, like, all of these, like, fucking junkies were, like, watching it, like, cheering, being like, fuck yes, dude, nice. Like, a change is gonna come.
Morgan, what are your standout tracks here?
I really gotta say, is it called If It Means a Lot to You?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really have to, like, that, it doesn't sound like the rest of the album. It's not something that, like, I would suggest to get a full vision of what this album is. Mm-hmm. Like, if you had to pick one song, I'd probably pick, you know, The Downfall of Us All to, like, really
sure
be like, this is what you're setting the tone for. But that album, that song, If It Means a Lot to You, like, just because I would go back to that song without knowing this album, like, that's something that I think it's a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song. What else? Any others?
I mean, you kind of nailed it. Like, those two are really, like, that's the beginning and end song of the album. Those are the bookends. Those songs bookend the albums. And I really like those two, even though they are, you know, I do think they might be the biggest off of those albums. Well, and I try not to pick the biggest ones, but I have to be realistic with the choices and be like, those two very much are my favorite songs on the album.
Downfall of Us All has 196 million plays. And If It Means a Lot to You has 241 million plays. I think right in the middle of this album, We have Mr. Highway's Thinking About the End. That's the one with Disrespect Your Surroundings. And I that is a standout to me, particularly because of when the Vanderpump Rules girls came to Emo Night. And everybody was a little bit skeptical. They're like, who are these pretty girls from this reality TV show? Like, why are they at Emo Night? But I knew they were legit. And they gave me their playlist, and I loaded it up for them. And they had Mr. Highway's Thinking About the End. And this was actually an Ariana Maddox pick because she's from Florida. She grew up in the scene with these guys. And I remember her getting on the table. And when that part hit, Disrespect Your Surroundings, everybody was like, fuck yeah.
Well, I remember.
Those girls are legit.
I remember because you, I asked you what their playlist was like, and you were like, no, they're legit.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, they have a Day to Remember on here.
Yeah.
You were like, I have a Day to Remember song I never heard on here.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, fuck, cool. Yeah. Like, very cool.
It was so sick, though. I will always remember that. And, you know, to go even further, a Day to Remember inspired Sheena from Vanderpump Rules to record a screamo version of Good as Gold, which is the reason Emo Night was even able to be on Vanderpump Rules this past season.
Wow, this is full circle.
Because she said that she heard the Kelly Clarkson cover of Since You've Been Gone, and she was like, I want to do that, but for my pop song.
Damn, dude. She fucking rabbit holed us into a Day to Remember.
Yeah.
That's so sick. What a cool full circle thing that we just found out, I found out right now.
Yeah. So I do I do have that as my, if you like this, you might like Sheena Shea, Good as Gold, screamo version.
I actually have a band that I hadn't really heard. I remember hearing their name a lot, or not a lot, but like I go on like Reddit forums sometimes and be like, if I like this, you may like this. And, you know, most of them are like people's own bands, like bumping their own bands, being like, you'll like this. And I'm like, bro, this sounds like shit. This does not sound like that. But there's a band called For the Win. And they actually just put out a new single called Narrative. And I really fuck with that song. And if you like A Day to Remember and you don't know who For the Win is, check that band out.
We're going to put together a Spotify playlist of all of these. If you like this, you might like this. So if you guys are listening on Spotify, make sure you go and subscribe to that playlist, and we'll be updating it as these episodes come out.
Very smart.
That was your idea.
God, I'm so smart. Dude, I just forget everything. Do you know, look how many notes I have about this. Like, I probably said three things out of this. Look at this, you guys. And I even tried to highlight the things that I like wanted to say. It is bad, dude. You can't.
Let's see what Joni picked. She said, if you like this, you might like Gone Are the Good Days by Chunk, No Captain Chunk. That band is sick.
Yep. That's what I saw a lot of people like being like, if you like this, you like this to them.
Little Greenhouse by Anxious.
Oh, that's a fucking great. That I don't see it, but I love that song and I love that band.
It says it fuses pop punk with a more metal sound, the same way that Homesick does.
Yeah, in that sense, she's right.
And she made an astute observation here about an album we already talked about, Let's Cheers to This by Sleeping with Sirens. She says, I don't think that Let's Cheers to This could have existed without Homesick kind of paving the way for the genre and fusing pop and metal.
And once again, shout out Joni. Shout out Joni the intern. She basically produces these things.
She does
for
a
us.
Lot of the research for us. So thank you, Joni.
In conclusion, I just, you know, if you really has really never sat down and looked at this from the perspective of this changed a lot of stuff for heavy music and pop music and music in this scene, go back and listen to it with that perspective, being like, this, you, yeah, sure, it sounds familiar because you might have heard it now, but at the time, if something sounds familiar to you and you've never heard it, it's a testament to that it's very good.
Yeah, and I read this Kerrang article about it. I'm sure you read it too, but they were saying like, this was groundbreaking in the sense that it just like kind of allowed people to see that you can fuse genres together in new ways. And they traced it all the way down to even like Lil Peep.
I have a couple quotes that I think are like pretty applicable. It said, it's an album that quite literally set the tone for the next 10 years of the scene. And it did so by simply having fun. And like, you can't get a better review for an album than that. Killswitch Engage and Newfound Glory, those two guys fucking made this album. That's what it sounds, you know, that's like what you're getting. And the irony is that that viewpoint is that by dressing like Zumiez employees while providing the soundtrack to a Hot Topic store, a Data Remember introduced people to metalcore who were otherwise turned off by scary breakdown music.
This is a quote that I had from the band that just said, "We're a pop band that plays mosh music."
I couldn't have said it better myself.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of CD Burners. We will be back next week with another deep dive into an album.
And I hope we weren't as annoying as we think we are. Or if we are, fuck on you.
We'll see you guys next week.
Okay, everybody. Goodbye. Bye.